they will continue the goal of life. And if you ask me how long are we going to study about the goal of life, I would say till you, every member of this church will get tired and will say, enough, let's go to apply those goals. You remember the translation of the word hamartia, which is in English is sin, and which means to miss the mark, to miss the goal. And today we will study again how we can live a life, such a life according to God's purpose, that in the end we'll hear, well done, and not that you missed the goal, you missed the mark, you lived in sin. And that's why Paul said, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal. Paul is teaching us that he is doing only one thing. He wants to accomplish that goal, and that's why he submitted the whole life to accomplish God's mission for him. We don't need this morning to try hard, to work hard, to find what's God's goal for us. Because God is willing to reveal it to us. It's not a matter that it's hard to understand. God wants to reveal it to us this day. But those who know their goal, even those who already understood their goals, it's much more important that to know the goal is to submit your will to fulfill that goal. And that's why everyone who is focused only on himself, he can't really understand what God expects from us. That's why you have that mark. You have that picture, don't miss the goal. There are many goals, but only one mission. And how we can recognize the life goal of all, from all our other goals? The goals are temporary, but the mission is forever. Actually, the goal is greater than the life itself. That's why Paul said, for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. He said, to die for Christ, to die for the goal of my life, it's a gain. You can see here that the goal is much greater than life. And that's why only those people who have that goal greater than love can, life can give up, can sacrifice their life. I asked someone, what's the goal of his life? And the answer was, to get married, to have a nice family, and to get a nice job. And my next question was, but what will happen after that? None of this can become the focus of your life. Not your family, not your hobbies, job, career or pleasure. None of these are strong enough to support you in a hard time, in the time of crisis. And it's worthy to repeat that if you are focusing your life toward these goals, temporary goals, if you are making from your job, your family, if you are making an excel of your life, you'll be disappointed in the end. Because all those temporary goals, they are like forks of the wheel. They can't be an axle of your life. It's very important what your wife is expecting from you, what your boss is expecting from you, but it's more important what God is expecting from you. That's why this morning we have to define what's the mission, the God's mission for you. And not to be focused on some temporary goals, because You can check even this morning what is the axle of your life. If you are spending too much time in one thing, your desires, your dreams, your thoughts are around that thing, that could be the focus of your life. Let's say I'm a teacher. The focus of my life should be on my disciples more than on my family. Hear this. On my disciples more, on my family. But if you don't want to have a disagreement between your family and your ministry, make your family your ministry. Make your wife and your kids your disciples, and you have only one mission, and you will not have two focuses. And today, again, we would like to focus on only what is your axle of your life. It's not wise to invest your life energy in something with the temporary value, which will not last. And to miss your life purpose, the only one which has a heavenly reward. God says that he shrinks back, he will not be pleased with him. And no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God. God wants us to be focused ahead and not looking back. It's very important to have a right purpose, but it's more important to stay focused on that focus. God left us a whole book full of exhortations to help us to do that, and that's the book of Hebrews, where he said, Hebrews 10:35, do not throw away your confidence, which will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. God loves ambitious, focused, determined people, motivated, who are going ahead. During the Second World War, Russia lost a lot of pilots. Actually, the average time spent in the air by a pilot before he was killed was around 9 hours. But there are few pilots like Pokushkin, Kozyduk, who spent hundreds of hours in the air, and they didn't get killed. All those their comrades, they got killed, but they survived. Tell me the secret, how they were able to strike down hundreds of German aircraft, and how they survived. They became even three times heroes of USSR, which is the most prestigious decoration in that country. Tell me the secret, how they survived. In the very beginning, in the first battle, they showed themselves as motivated, determined to go in the battle. And at headquarters, they immediately remarked on their undoubted character, and they appointed them as shooters. But all of the other pilots, they were appointed to cover them. So during the fight, if a German aircraft will appear somewhere in the back, other Russian pilots should stay among them and to take all the bullets on him. And in this way, they were sacrificing their lives, but they had to keep them alive. And they got all the rewards. They became heroes, when others, they just sacrificed their lives. And you'll say, it's not fair, but it's the same of God. It's the same. God wants us to be shooters for him. And who stops you today to be a shooter for God? Who stops you to be the same focus, determined, going only ahead? And that's why he said that I don't like those who shrink back. The investment in life mission makes your life full of joy and makes your life an adventure full of passion. And the opposite is also true. Do you remember what Jesus said to Paul? He said, it's hard, isn't it? It's hard to kick against the goad. The goad is something sharp. And it's very hard to kick against this something sharp. It's painful. You remember Jonah. Jonah, who went against God. And he was sent as a missionary to Nineveh, Iraq. But instead he went to Tarshish, Spain. And nowadays many people would like to go to Spain instead of Iraq. And you know, from the chapter to chapter, his life went down. In Jonah 1, verse 3, he went down to Joppa. In verse 5, but Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. And in chapter 2, we found already he is in the depth. He said, from the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. Be careful not fighting, not find yourself fighting with God. Because if you are not submitted to God's mission, you are fighting with God. You are going against God. And you know that his disobedience brings on depression on him. And you remember how many times he wanted to kill himself. When first sailors asked, what should we do? Jonah says, here I am, kill me, here I am. And he suggested them throw me in the sea. And in chapter 4, two times he said, take away my life, for it's better for me to die than to live. When you go against God, let's say differently, when you don't accomplish what God, God's mission for you, you get tired. And you go on depression as Jonah. And take for example, Saul. Take Saul as an example. In the beginning, he had a very bright beginning, but he hadn't the same end, because he wasn't submitted to God, and you know what kind of severe depression he had. You know that you can submit God to your purposes and became the most miserable and were unhappy, or you can submit to God's purpose and become fulfilled. God doesn't expect from us to do everything. He expects from us to do only what he called us to do. And in Philippians 1, 9 and 10, Paul said, this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth and insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. Look for three key words. Love. How the love increases in us? Through the knowledge. When you are getting that depth and insight of the truth. But that will make you to be focused on only what is the best in your life. And what is the best? God's purpose for you. Many times I met Christians who wanted to serve God, and they were doing everything. Maybe in the beginning, when you come to know Christ, that's a good beginning to try to do something good. But it's not worth it to spend your life doing everything. God expects from us to not to do good things, but to pick up from the good the best, which means his purpose. And that's why he wants to invest. He wants us to invest everything that we have, especially time, in fulfilling the best. Because if you are not submitting your time to your life purpose, that unseized time, you know where we'll go? We'll go to what has the public acclamation. Let me give you an example. As the president of Taekwondo Federation, my country, I was invited to all the ceremonies of the clubs. All the important activities of any club in my country, they wanted to invite me. And all the disciples, they were inviting me to be at their birthday party. If I would answer to their demands, I would lose my time investing in what has a public acclamation, but I will lose God's purpose for me. That's why God wants us to be focused on only what He called us to do. And let's go to the practical part and to see how we can find what your goal or what's my goal in life. We'll start with the common goal of you as a human being. Second, we'll go to the common goal as a child of God. And third, you go to that unique, specific calling as a part of the body. Because you are a unique part of the body. You are a ear, or you are a hand, or a leg. And in this way, we can find what's your life mission. So first, the common goal of the human being, Paul revealed that in Acts 17, and he said, from one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that the man would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance. But now he commands all people everywhere to repent. So the goal of every inhabitant of this earth is first to seek God, to know God, and to repent. That's the first goal, but that also is only the beginning. Many people in the church remain on this goal. And that's why when you ask somebody, who is the, what is the goal of your life, you'll get the answer to get to heaven. But you already received salvation when you accepted Christ as your Savior. But you are still here. So God left us for a reason, and we are now a piece of His huge mechanism. We are a puzzle of His big picture. We are we have a certain goal, part of His cosmic goal. And now let's see to the next goal. Next goal is to give thanks and praise Him. 1 Chronicles 16 says, give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name. Make known among the nation what He has done. Sing to Him. Sing praise to Him. Tell of all His wonderful acts. Glory in His holy name. To give thanks, it's an obligation, it's a goal of everyone. To give thanks is more an attitude. And we will see that to praise is an action. But what does it mean to give thanks? The first thing that we should do after we receive Christ is to give thanks. You know that even in the Old Testament, the sacrifice of thanksgiving was coming immediately after the sacrifice of atonement. So once you get saved, the first you have to give thanks. And you know that Paul said that this world is cursed because they don't give thanks to the Lord. In Romans he said, although they knew God, since the God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that that men are without excuse. But they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So you can see that because they didn't give thanks, even though they knew him, they become abnormal. And the most miserable person on this world, the most unhappy person, is the one who connects the gratitude to the circumstances and not to the God's character. That God who does not change like shifting shadows, as James said. That's why nowadays you see people who today is happy, tomorrow he's already under on depression. Why? Because he connects his condition of gratitude to the circumstances and not to God's character, the only one which is stable, which doesn't change. And the circumstances, you know how many times they change. And even James said that the joy and the situation of gratefulness is a sign that you are a Christian, because that's how the non-Christians would like to find about our God. When they will see in hard situations that we are giving thanks, they would like to find out from where we got that power, that strength, that we can do that in a hard situation. But to praise is the Greek word doxa, to give glory, which Isaiah says, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory. It's very clear that God created us for his glory. And to give praise and glory means doxa, to reflect, to represent, to show to the people how God is through your actions. And that's why Paul said, you are those scriptures written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. For many people, that's the only scripture that they can live. And that's why to give thanks and to glorify is the next goal, as a Christian. But in this way we can paraphrase Habakkuk prophecy. He said in modern words, although gasoline prices will continue to skyrocket, the economy will spiral downward, some clubs will become empty, and Walmart will go bankrupt, and we will stay in long lines to get bread anyway. Yet I will give thanks to the Lord, and I will rejoice in the Lord, and will joyful in my Savior. Now, let's go to the general goal as a child of God. Ephesians said that he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. So he chose us to be holy. The word holy means set apart, to be different. That's what God intended with us, to make us so different that the people of this world will like to find out who we are and why we are so different. And now you see in new generation, they want to conform with this world. They want to be like others. And that's not what God intended with us. He wants us to be so different, our speech to be different, our behavior to be different, our house, our yard, everything should give birth to curiosity in the world. And once I was traveling in North Kazakhstan, and in North Kazakhstan all the towns are so ugly, it's like from movies of horror, really. And you come in one place when you see a very nice town, like in America. Very nice town. All others are ugly, and here a nice town. And you ask, what happened? Why is so so different this time? And you know what you hear? Here Germans used to live. Those Germans who were sent in exile during the Second World War, they built that town, and now they live for Germany, but anyway, their influence is there. You can see their influence. How I would like to see such nice towns and to ask why they are so different and to hear, oh, here Christians live. The Christians live and they influence us. And how painful is that in some places you see that the world influences the Christians more than the Christians influence the world. So the next slide, the next goal is to bring fruit. One of the goals is to bring fruit. And that's why our Father, he prunes. He prunes fruit us that we will bring more fruit. The next goal is to get the crown. Moses regarded this grace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. When Moses saw the treasures of Egypt and here from other hand, he will have all that time full of trials in the desert, he chose that one because he was looking to the reward. And Paul said, everyone who competes gets a crown. But that crown will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. And that's why he said, I'm pressing on toward the goal to get the prize. The prize, the crown, is one of the goals of a child of God. And the next, the last goal of a child of God is to, common goal, is to be prepared to meet our Lord. Amos said, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. And Jesus said, so you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you don't expect him. And Paul, when he was looking back to his life, he said, now I'm ready to get the crown because I fulfilled the goal. But that crown will be given not only to me, but to all those who have longed for his appearing, who were desiring his appearing. Our citizen is in heaven, and that's why we are eagerly await for Jesus Christ. And let the Spirit today, the Spirit of God and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears, let's say, come. That's one of the goals of as a child of God. And now let's summarize all those common goals. They can be consolidated into one, which is Christ. First is seek and know him. The second is follow him. And the third, eagerly desire his coming. Why is so important to eagerly desire his coming? Because if you are looking every day for Jesus coming, you determine your daily priorities differently. You behave differently. You stay in contact with your God. And that's why these are three common goals as a child of God. He can know him, follow him, and wait, eagerly wait for his coming. But now let's go to the your specific goal as a member of the body. We have a unique calling. We are chosen to fulfill God's mission in your family, church, and society. And that's why God made us a member of his body. Your spiritual gift suggests you what your purpose is. You have been prepared for a specific certain work. your function function in the body will help you to identify you as a member. If you see that you have these functions, you are a hand. If you see, you are an eye, and you are giving the opportunity for the whole body to see. If you hear, you are a ear. So according to the function, your function, you can now figure out what's your unique purpose, unique goal. And let's say if I'm a teacher, what's my goal? To make disciples. To make disciples. How do I know that I'm fulfilling God's goal? And or how do I know which are my rewards? I can look at my disciples to see how many and the quality of my disciples, and I can figure out what God will tell me when I will get in heaven. Why I'm bringing disciples in this church? Because I would like to show you that people from different areas. Alexander is a businessman. It's an upskill businessman. And he's supporting a lot the ministry in Russia. Other people are doctors, sportsmen, but all of them, when they came to understanding that what God expects from him, they submitted their life to be a disciple, and in this way they started to serve. And you heard from Alexander that his life got changed only 3 years ago. That's what God wants us to do. And you know that in a large house, there are articles not only for of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes, and some are for ignoble purposes. And look here, if a man cleanses himself from what? Ignoble purposes. If you cleanse yourself from ignoble purposes, he'll be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. That's why we have to clean ourselves for all other purposes and to leave only one, that noble purpose. How to discover your mission? Let's do now some really, really practical things. First, we have to start with our total commitment, our total surrender. That's why Paul, when he was talking about gifts, he said, first, you have to sacrifice yourself. You can have all the gifts, but nothing will happen if you will not sacrifice, you will not surrender yourself. That's the first step. And you know how God reacts to the partial obedience of Saul. He said, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of friends. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. God is looking for those whose hearts are fully committed to him. And here is a prayer which we can pray today. Dear Lord, I fully surrender to you with all my desires, my dreams. She is my life. Do with it whatever you want. I'm ready to accept your will, even if it totally does not match with my expectations. But that's a prayer. If you pray that prayer, you allow God to work in your life, and maybe tomorrow you'll see some strange things, maybe surprises, because you allow God to do everything that he wants with your life. So that's the first step. Start with the commitment, because you'll not find your goal of life if you'll not start with the commitment. The second step is let the teacher disciple you to prepare you for work of service. That's what God said. That Jesus already gave some to be, you remember, apostles, teachers, pastors. Why? To prepare God's people for the work of service. So, and that's why God says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that will be of advantage to you. And Romans also says that we should let ourselves to renew, to be transformed. Then the second step. No one will find what's his goal of life if I will not follow this step. The third step is commit yourself to the work of service. In this way, only in this way, you'll find out what your strength is, and also you'll grow into maturity and you'll get confidence in your vision. Now, let's make a conclusion. Systematical Bible study and prayer plus serving equals with finding life's purpose in the church and in society. And how do you know that you are acting according to your gift? First, when you are serving with your gift, you are fulfilled and happy. But second, others will testify about the impact which you are having in their lives. They will be happy too. And I'm giving the example how I found my life's mission statement. First, I saw that what God meant from us first is to know Him. From general to a particular. First is to know Him. Second, I saw that God wants not to gain only information, but wants me to apply everything that I understood. That's why I put the second, to live Him. And third, since I know that one of my gifts is a teacher, to make disciples, to share Him as many as possible. Again, that's how I found my life statement. And that's how you can find your life statement if you go through those three steps. But that's very important in order not to losing our life in doing everything, but to be focused on fulfilling only what God asked for us to do. Today we have a special moment. We have a celebration when we can again look back and to look at the covenant which we established with our Lord, and to look where we are in that covenant, because God let us, He let a special day when we can look back and when we can evaluate our life and to see where we are in that covenant of Him. And today, everyone who is in peace with God, everyone who is in covenant with God, doesn't matter if you are a member of this church or other church, you'll be invited to share with our Lord Jesus Christ the bread and His blood. And to think about the price, the tremendous price which was paid for you to have this covenant. And think about if you remain faithful to that covenant. If you remain as a trustworthy partner in that covenant which Lord signed or which Lord made of you in that day, you know that day. Let's stand up, and again, everyone is invited in a spirit of prayer to come and to share with the Church of God, with the bride, to share from His body and His love. And let God bless everyone to think, to go deep in our souls, and to find out what kind of partners we are. We know what kind of partner He is, but today is the time to find out what kind of partners we are. And may God bless you in this.